Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Ho, ho, and off we go. We three guys who you all know. It's the end of the year, and we're still here. The beer is of the weird. You're having a three-way, a Vibus recap. Backdoor, side door, premiere, it's still the same. There's nothing in the frame but you.
That's going to be my new Christmas carol highlight every year. It's not Christmas until that carol gets played. Wow. That's amazing.
I just wrote that then.
Wow. You should do more of that. Three-way. Yeah. That's all three-way. I can see. It's just a three-way.
Wow. And did you have a tune in mind, or was that on the fly?
I had a couple of tunes I knew could fit in there. Change it up halfway through.
Do you know what? That could be the Cryptid Factor's first NFT.
Oh, okay.
Wow. What's an NFT again?
An NFT? This is, Dan, welcome to the 21st century. It's a non-fungible token, and It means that something you can't funge, and it's you can sell it on the internet for lots of money because it's a way to prove that is the only version of it or the very first version of something digital.
Okay.
Wow, there's NFTs explained for you folks, just in case you didn't need it.
Wow.
I don't think we're going to start the show with that.
Merry Christmas! That's the biggest gift you could be given. Oh my God. Merry Christmas, Dan.
I'd heard the term and I kind of understood, but I didn't fully get it. What is funge a word? Funge.
Yeah, it does sound funge. I think it's a new internet word. It's like fund, but funge. It is a word, right?
Yeah, it sounds it.
It is. Is it? Hang on, if I get that wrong, is it fudgeable? Non-fudgeable? Because fudgeable, like you fudge something. Oh, I fudged that.
Or is it I think fungible? They might have created a new word. I think it because it's like a mixture of funding and fudging. Funging. Right. I think so. But I don't know. I'm not an NFT guy. I'm not an internet guy.
Oh my God, we haven't talked for a couple of weeks and this is we start talking about funding the fudge.
You know about the metaverse, Dan?
I have. It had its first groping scandal today.
Oh, really?
What?
The metaverse, yeah. I didn't read into it yet, but some accusations.
Groping.
Some
online groping.
Within the metaverse.
Oh, well, see, that's it. It's all gone downhill. That was meant to be a safe place for people and that's obviously, it's backfired.
Straight away. Shut it down.
Well, I'm not going there now. I'm not going to the metaverse, especially not dressed like this.
Tell us how you're dressed.
I have a silk kimono on and a Santa hat and my funky glasses with the blue lenses.
And Dan, what does he look like?
What does he look like? God, I don't know. Like, to me, a sort of creepy uncle who's...
Merry Christmas, kids. Is your mother home?
Well, I do think it would be a cool look to have Reese sitting in malls as the new look Santa.
Yeah.
I think that's quite fun.
You could. It'd be awesome to have that option when you walk into an LA mall. And you know, you kind of go, who do you want to be your Santa? And there's a lineup of Santas there.
Well, there'd be a screen, wouldn't there? There'd be a screen and you just tap which one you want. And then if it was me, I'd get an indication on my phone or something, a bit of a vibrate. And then I'd have to go through into the section. Hello, I'm looking for a Leon Kirkbeck has chosen me. A Leon Kirkbeck. Oh, God, it's you.
I want to tell you what I want for Christmas. I want to know what an NFT is, please. Is that possible?
I'm sick of hearing your NFT stuff, mate.
Wow, I can't believe it's Christmas time, guys. It's like, this is so exciting. Like, literally here in New Zealand, it is tomorrow. I get all the Christmas presents tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, really? Because you're on the 24th, yeah. Are you? Oh, wow. Yeah. God, you've just managed to squeeze this in.
I know.
This is the unofficial Christmas episode, by the way. And I say unofficial because I'm the only one that obviously dressed up thinking to myself, well, it is pretty much Christmas. Surely the other guys, oh, hang on, well, Dan now has a crown on his head.
Yeah, we three kings.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I wore my summer, because it's summertime here in New Zealand, and I wore my summertime Christmas bucket hat.
Okay, good.
Okay.
But if you take the word Christmas out of that, it's just a bucket hat, isn't it? You made it a Christmas bucket hat by just adding the word Christmas.
Well, I never wear bucket hats, so it's a special occasion.
I'm wearing my Christmas headphones, guys. See? I mean, they're just normal silver headphones, but they're Christmas ones because I've just added the word Christmas.
It's a bit Victorian sort of urchin. Buttons his hat. Maybe it's a Christmas carol like Tiny Tim.
Yeah, yes.
I'm just trying to help out here, Buttons.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dan. But also, a bucket hat supposed to look this awkward, or is it just, is my head not in the right shape for it?
I think it feels like, to me, it's too small for your head.
Or is my head too big for the hat?
Yeah, both. It looks like a lady's bonnet.
I can't make it look cool.
Anyway, a lot of this will be edited out, so let's move on to everyone's favourite final section. It's...
Favourite final section.
Oh, is that what I said? Favourite final section of the year?
Yeah, is that the section we're going into?
We're going into the final section, so we are going to have to come back after that and do the other sections.
The last section's the buys, so if we just quickly cover off the buys now.
Okay,
thanks, guys. Merry Christmas, everyone!
Merry Christmas, everyone! Hopefully we'll see you next year at some point. We're aiming for January. We're definitely going to hit you in Feb.
Okay, now back to another section.
Okay, good. That was a good save. Well done, Buttons. So now let's do the first section that we always do. But when I say final, it's the final one of the year of this particular section. And of course it is.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I found there was quite a lot of weird news in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Both animal related and just general weirdness. So let's go through what we've got and see what we get out of it.
Shall we kick off with some headlines? Because I've got to say, my headline, I think, is probably the best one the entire year for me.
Wow. Yeah. What a big call.
Not necessarily, just because it's just so many weird words thrown together.
Okay.
Shall I go first?
Yeah,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Here we go. Living robots made from frog cells can replicate themselves in a dish.
Brilliant.
Living
robots, frog cells, replicate, dish. Great. Like words that I never ever thought would have been in a headline altogether.
I have to say, I'm surprised dish was an exciting word that you included in that shorter summary.
Yeah.
Well, living robots and dish, finally, in a sentence together.
It's such a great word, dish.
It's honestly, it is a good word.
It's very simple, but there's no two ways about it. We know what a dish is. There's, you know, apart from satellite dish and the dish that you would put other things in, it's still the same kind of shape. That's big news. Yeah. That's big news for the year. What do you got, Dan?
I have a group of people get sick at a conspiracy theory conference. However, instead of assuming that it is COVID, they think they've been poisoned by anthrax and thus have created a conspiracy theory within their own conspiracy theory conference.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing. But Dan, you've just been sick the last few days. Have you been going to conspiracy theory conferences? Is this something you
love
to
have gone
share?
To one.
Is
that... I think that would be so interesting. This was in Dallas, I believe. So no, I wasn't there. I was in the local South London conspiracy theory halls, which are much less glamorous. Conspiracy theory erupts at conspiracy theory conference, I think is a pretty good, exciting headline.
To be fair, that is better than living robots, frog cells, and dish.
Well, what do you serve up anthrax in? A dish. So,
a dish! You could have added dish into your headline there and made it just slightly better. So, missed opportunity there.
Darbs, what you got?
Well, I've got a classic Darbs one. Time traveler from 3812 claims she has photos from Mars.
Oh, guys, I finally think I have the best news story with frog cells and replicate and living robots. And both your stories sound freaking amazing. Time travel and conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
No, yours is nice too.
Look. That's the trouble. When you go first, there's a lot of pressure, obviously, on the other two of us to, you know, up our game. So we go through our quick list and go, ooh, what's going to compete with that? You know?
Yeah. I've just had to make something up in order to compete with that.
Oh, man. Well, go into that because you know how much I love time travel. So, Darbs, why don't you kick off?
Okay. So this is very new. I found this in the Lad Bible. Basically, a woman who claims to be a time traveler believes she has been to Mars in the year 3812, having taken a photo of what she says is the red planet in the future. The 37-year-old, known only as Mary, spoke about her supposed travels in the 3000s in a video, saying Mars had become very frightening. In the clip, which is on YouTube, and we can have a look at this clip in a second, we see her holding a photo that apparently shows buildings on Mars, along with the spaceships that Mary and her companions had arrived in. Now, she explained, "So I appeared on Mars. It looked like a desert with many buildings. I immediately took a photo. You can see the spaceships on which we came, and you can see the buildings." I'm going to pause it there just in case she says all this in the video, because it'd be great having it from her own voice. So let's have a look at this now.
"So I appeared in Mars. It looked like a desert where there were many buildings. I immediately take a photo, which I will show right now."
What? That's not her voice though, is it?
It's not her voice, because that's a voice in the room.
"Look, this is the photo I had taken in Mars. Here you can see the spaceships on which we came. You also can see buildings."
Wait. That's the photo?
"Mars were very interesting and
what is going on?
Very frightening. We wore special clothes and started to have a walk. People found life in the Mars. Reptiles who didn't need oxygen to live."
Makes no sense.
"We went to mines where people found expensive metals. I should also notice that metals were not like metals of our planet. I thought people worked at that mines but only robots worked.
Some
of them had intelligence, and some were only for hard work.
Well, that's like just normal life, isn't it? Like, some people have intelligence and others just work, just like me. Wow, what do we
okay, it wasn't worth listening to her then.
Unpack. Well, see, the problem is she's clearly been overdubbed, because we're seeing the picture of it is clearly a woman sitting down outside in some kind of external building structure type thing.
A really weird like place to film someone.
So strange.
Yeah.
By the way,
they've blurred out her entire face.
But also, the blur is either they've over blurred or she has a massive head, because that blur.
Yeah, there's too much blur. No need for that.
They've got
But also, her voice is clearly not her voice, because as you could tell, that was an overdub of somebody in a studio or in a room.
Mm.
But then she just sort of whips out this photo.
Yeah.
From behind her, when she was showing a photo, it wasn't showing it on a laptop or an iPad or any. It was like she'd taken a Polaroid camera.
She's got to snappy snaps.
Snappy snaps. And go, do you mind now? Look, do you mind? Just careful with this one, because this is actually a photo from 1,000 years in the future. So just, yep. Oh, what sort of border would I like? Yeah, can I have a white border with a black frame? Don't worry about the anti-glare.
So it says here, there's obviously been a lot of complaints and a lot of people not believing this.
What, from Snappy Snap? She didn't pay her bill. Sorry, can somebody get her to pay?
Someone has claimed the photo may have been a concept photo from NASA, writing, first, she never took that photo on Mars. She took that photo from the internet. It's a NASA concept photo for the colonization of Mars. And a third person says, so you time travel, you see amazing things, and you have a camera, and you only take one photo.
So true. I didn't even think of
and
that.
Someone else has put, I would love to time travel 22 minutes into the past to stop myself from watching this video.
Oh, beautiful.
So the photo, we should describe it for the listener, is a bit, it looks very futuristic. It looks like the pods that you saw, if you saw the movie The Martian, sort of to the left where the sort of camp would be for where the base would have been set in. There's buildings in the background. It sort of gets a bit Mordor in the back. You know, giant, spiky towers.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's clearly just a photoshopped thing that she's printed out. I mean, my big question is, why put this out? Why is it's just like so unbelievable? Is it because they're waiting for someone like me in a silk dressing gown and a Santa hat and blue funky glasses to push this out into the ethos as legit?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yes! Mission achieved!
Yes! Yes.
Very tiny thing. Don't want to distract from the main story, but I'm interested in her fingernails here. She's gone, on one hand, three light blue and one entirely glittery silver. And then if you look to the other hand, it's 3.5 blue and half
that is weird.
Look at the, what's going on there?
Yeah, that's weird.
Very odd.
That's not credible at all.
I'm sorry, that's not credible.
You know what? I just looked up the very first claim of somebody being a time traveler is all the way back in the mid-1800s. It was when somebody first claimed
to travel
to the future. Yeah. So it's obviously been happening for a long time. But of course, unless you've got an old Polaroid picture from Mars, which just happens to be the same picture as what NASA is using for their promotional clip, which you could argue is maybe that NASA has actually made the exact thing that they predicted they would make, and they've made it, and she's taken a photo of what NASA made. So you could argue that. But it's like, how do you prove that you have time traveled? How do you, when you come back and say, guys, holy shit, I just went to the future. Oh, what'd you see? All the stuff everybody expects is going to happen. Yeah. Can't prove it.
Even with a photo or bringing something back, people are still going to be skeptical because, you know, what we can do with technology these days is, and then you put your own word in there. You know what I mean? That's one of my new things. When I can't think of a word, I'm just gonna let other people put the word in.
Oh, God. So why was Lad Bible reporting on this? Like, how did this story get out there?
I know. Well, I've been on Lad Bible a few times because they do have interesting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a website, and I think it really is sort of clickbait. Headline, isn't it, really? Because everyone, I always like clicking on the time travel people who claim or have some sort of very, very loose evidence. And it's never really believable, but it's always worth clicking on just to have a laugh, really. You know, and this one is definitely, I feel personally, sort of bottom of the barrel, really. didn't read it before I chatted to you guys about
it's really
it, obviously.
Good. I think that's the way to go. Also, I think we almost brushed over there the fact that you've introduced a new little thing into the cryptid factor of where you just leave a vacant pause for people to put their own descriptive word into.
Oh, yeah.
I actually really love that. I think you just need to put like a little asterisk in what number it is, and then people can write to us and write they filled in to that space. So that throughout the podcast, you go, at asterisk number one, I used the word hippopotamus.
Good. Well, that one I just did earlier then, that is asterisk number one. Okay, so when the fans come through, I want to see what they've put in there in that place.
Okay.
There may be more, depending on how my brain works this show. But
or more importantly, doesn't work. The brain doesn't work, inserts.
Hey, Buttons, who was the 1800 time traveler?
Yeah, well, it's actually French. It's called the Mobily Jourdain incident, or the ghosts of Petit Trianon or Versailles. It refers to claims of time travel and hauntings made by Charlotte and Mobily and Eleanor Jourdain. And they published a book entitled An Adventure, and their book describes a visit they made to Petit Trianon, and where they claim they saw ghosts including Marie Antoinette and others.
Ah.
And their story caused a sensation and was subject to much ridicule, just like Reese's story.
Yeah. Hey, it's not my story.
No. Well, this sounds like Lad Bibles.
This sounds like a ghost story that you've just told us, as opposed to a time travel.
Oh, sorry, it was time travel and hauntings. So a little bit of both.
every ghost story really is a time travel story. I think that's where you're getting to.
There is so many fascinating, like Wikipedia is full of them. There's like and there's all those classic photos, you know, that people bring up of somebody who looks totally out of place.
Yeah.
In a scene, and there's this one, a 1941 bridge opening. There's a photograph of a guy, and its authenticity has been proven. It's not like it's been photoshopped or anything like that. And amongst a whole bunch of people wearing hats very much like mine of the day, there's a dude standing there with sunglasses on, a t-shirt, and a hoodie.
Yeah, but I would argue that whoever this guy was the Reese Darby of his day. Because if Reese goes out right now, dressed as he is, and someone takes a snap.
Yeah.
It's so true. He had just finished a podcast, the Christmas special, and he had dressed up as somebody like of the future. And there he is. This is the guy. They call him the time-traveling hipster.
Yeah, I've seen this photo. I love this.
Yeah. He's wearing sunglasses on that are quite cool little sort of petite sunglasses with the little sun shields on the sides of them that sort of make them sort of wrap around.
Mm.
Nobody else is wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
Everybody else is wearing top hats and what have you. He isn't. And he's wearing what is clearly a t-shirt with like a looks like a screen printed letter M.
Yeah, it looks like he's wearing a Superman outfit underneath there. That looks like
does
a super
too.
And it looks like he's just got the logo wrong. Like he's put it man does. Instead of super, the S. He's put the M. But it does look like it. It looks like he's about to rip it off in a Superman yeah. sense.
But why a bridge opening? Why did a time traveler go back? Like this, like you've said in the past, Dan, that there's theories that the Titanic sunk because so many time travelers all turned up to see the sinking, which caused the sinking, which
yes.
creates this eternal loop of would it have sunk if time travelers didn't go. And then he's turned up to go and but he's turned up to a bridge opening. British Columbia.
We need to look at what was happening that day.
Is that bridge, something significant may have happened with that bridge, you see?
Or maybe it's about to. Maybe it is yet to.
Or maybe he needed to cross the bridge to get to the significant event, but he stupidly didn't look up that it was the day they opened the bridge and it was going to be packed with people. So he's caught up in traffic on the way.
Anyway.
All right, let's do another story.
Yeah. Dan, your turn.
Okay, yeah, so my story, I got this from Vice this week. A group of conspiracy theorists got sick at a conspiracy theory conference and are convinced there's a conspiracy theory that made them ill. So it was a conference that was held in Dallas. It's called the Reawaken America Tour. Very big, you know, Eric Trump came and did a talk there, Roger Stone, these sort of big names on the right. And basically, a bunch of people there, suddenly it was about a dozen people, started getting a cough, you know, getting a bit ill, all the symptoms of COVID-19. But they're convinced that it's not COVID-19. So what they said is that they believe that they were poisoned with anthrax.
Oh.
And they think, obviously, someone did that on purpose, wanted to stop them from getting their messages apart. So there was a guy who was called Joe Altman. And he has a conservative daily podcast. And in a recording, he's coughing, he's sneezing on camera. And he said there's a 99% chance it's anthrax. 99% chance it's anthrax. Even though
that's very high.
Yeah, that's quite high. And even according though to the article, no one had tested positive for anthrax poisoning, and none of the other 3,500 people claimed to have any side effects or any effects of all of anthrax. He still thinks that that's what it was. But he says that he didn't get as sick as he could have got because he happened to already be taking an antibiotic, which he was taking as a result of impaling his leg on an arrow in an incident in his brother's garage a few weeks previous. So
I want to know, that's the story. Screw the anthrax. How did he injure himself with an arrow in his brother's garage? Wow. And why was he taking antibiotics? What was on the arrow that gave him an infection?
Yeah, well, it must have been rusty or something. Yeah, it must have been a gangrene situation. So he claims that he had anthrax off as a result of this. There was another person who had more severe symptoms, who was called Jovan Pulitzer. And Pulitzer is an inventor. He invented a barcode scanner, which has been listed on a big list as one of the 50 worst inventions ever.
What?
Yep. So
That's amazing.
He was another guy involved in the situation here.
Do you know what? That's actually a conspiracy. That's why he was at the conspiracy theory conference. It's his invention. It's actually supposed to be in one of the 50 best inventions of all time, his barcode scanner.
Well, barcode scanner sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we use barcode scanners every day in retail. So how does that...
Exactly.
Does his one not work? Or maybe it was already invented and then he turned up with his one.
Maybe that's why it's... Yeah, that's a bad invention. We've got that.
We've already got that, I'm afraid. It's great, but we have got it. So we're going to have to put that on the bad list.
No, but they stole it from him. That's another conspiracy. You see all these layers of conspiracies. They stole his idea of a bar scanner and then released it. And then he came out and said, no, it's my barcode scanner. And they're like, no, it's not. Prove it. Conspiracy. See, it's easy to be a conspiracy theorist. You just disagree with everybody.
Yeah.
It's easy.
It's fun.
It's very popular.
How do you... The thing is, all I know of anthrax is that it kills... Like, it's how do you have a little bit of anthrax poisoning? I thought it just kills you. I thought you had just sniff it and then you're like nerve damage and like... How do they all have a little bit of anthrax poisoning?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where the idea falls. a bit flat.
That's where Dan's news article falls down. We've had two failures here. So now let's set it up for Buttons' big piece of news that can't go wrong. We've done you a great favour here by having a couple of shit ones.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. It's so good.
That we made up on the spot.
What, can I give you one last detail about Pulitzer, the barcode man that I've just read?
Yeah.
Pulitzer claims to have written 300 books on history. His books include How to Cut Off Your Arm and Eat Your Dog, plus other recipes for survival.
What?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Can I order this? I'm writing this in right now.
We got to get into Pulitzer. This is his one-line biography on Wikipedia. Pulitzer says he began in marketing age 9, selling rabbit meat to restaurants. He is divorced. That's it.
Is that it?
That's in the personal life section of his Wikipedia.
Do you know what? Oh, I reckon we should start an award ceremony called the Other Pulitzer Prize.
Yes.
Where, you know, if you win the Pulitzer Prize, it's either you've done something great that there's a big conspiracy around it, or you've written a book with the weirdest title ever, and you can win this each year. Let's say the cryptid factor, the Other Pulitzer Prize.
Yes. One of the 50 worst prizes you could ever win. We've already got a Pulitzer Prize.
It's on Goodreads. It's got 3 out of 5. There's only 2 votes for it, but it's a 3 out of 5 rating. It's amazing.
Okay, I'm in. I'm all in for the Pulitzer Prize.
Okay, can I just read the little the thing for it? The cover. The color. That's so funny because the title, again, is How to Cut Off Your Arm and Eat Your Dog, plus Other Recipes for Survival. The artwork on the cover is a picture of a gorgeous-looking dog, a Doberman or something, and in its mouth is a bloodied cut-off hand. The dog is eating the hand. So they've kind of screwed up there because how to eat your dog, it's actually how the dog eats you is effectively what they're showing with the picture. So that's...
Well, no, when it came down to the pitch for the drawing, the guy would have said, look, okay, so you want the dog in there, yep, because you've got to eat the dog, and also you want your arm cut off. How about... Just to save room on the space, we put the arm inside the dog's mouth. I mean, it's not going to work out for what I'm talking about. Yeah, but artistically, it's going to look good and it's going to fit in the space. That's all I'm offering you. But that's not, it doesn't work out with the book, but the idea. Listen, mate, I'm going to be honest with you. I've already drawn it and it's coming to you shortly. And, you know, you're out of time here. So I think that's what's happened.
So on Goodreads, it says, could you cut off your own arm so you could live? Would you eat your own beloved dog if your survival or the survival of your family depended on it? The human condition is to learn only in tough times. What? But who wants to learn when the chips are down and their very life depends on their decisions? So they're basically saying learn now before the tough times kick in. I don't know that I want to learn this stuff until the tough times kick in. I want to learn whether I can do that. At the point I have to do it.
That's the only time you'll have to do it. You don't need to learn to do it now. And then, you know, when the tough times do kick in, you know, there's a disaster or something and you suddenly you've gone, oh, I've got to eat the dog. And you know, I wish I'd prepared for that. I wish I'd read a book that told me that I'm going to have to eat the dog. I know I've got to eat the bloody dog, okay? It's a mental shift that you have to make when there's nothing else you can do. That's why he's only got 3 stars.
Exactly. This one's got 2 ratings. I can't believe 2 people have bought it and read it.
He's better off in that book teaching people how to do Morse code. At least that's something that you can prepare yourself for in a disaster. You know Morse code. Yeah. It's not something you can suddenly switch on when the disaster happens, unlike eating a dog or sawing your arm off like that movie. Shit, I sawed my arm off.
Look at this. This is his Amazon page, amazon.co.uk. Here are his books that you can get. So the patented works of J. Hunton Pulitzer, and it's patent number 8,712,835. So specifically that patent number.
Wow.
Which is methods and apparatus for linking a web browser link to a promotional offer. That's the book. It's 134 pages long.
How much is it?
It's £6.81. I'm buying it right now.
Buy it right now. Oh, that's amazing. You're the first sale he's ever had.
This is the same guy that's putting out these articles on Lad Bible, knowing that I'm going to click on them. He's like, "What? How we get down to click on something? I know."
Wow. He sold, in the mid-2000s, sold bottled rainwater under the brand Purain.
Purain. Oh, that's great.
He claims to have filed over 100 patents and be the most prolific inventor since Thomas Edison.
Wow.
I'm in love with this man.
I guarantee you he's doing NFTs on the metaverse.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay, I'm bored with that now.
Yep.
Robot frogs.
Tell us about these dishes.
Okay. Well, I really hope I can save the Weekly World Weird News this week. I'm feeling a little bit anxious about this. This is from newscientist.com. The title, once again, living robots made from frog cells can replicate themselves in a dish. Okay, swarms of tiny living robots can self-replicate in a dish by pushing loose cells together. The xenobots made from frog cells are the first multicellular organisms found to reproduce in this way. So these xenobots, they were first created only as recently as last year. And so they've only just figuring out how to use these little xenobot things, which are obviously, you know, microscopic little robots.
Now, how are they different to nanobots? I want to know.
These ones are cooler because they're like, they've got an X in their name.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
sweet.
It sounds like it's a Z.
Are they even smaller or are they just like more capable?
These are really tricky questions.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just a fan here with a couple of questions.
No, it's good.
Okay, so xenobots are named after African clawed frogs, which are Xenopus laevius, some Latin.
Oh.
They're synthetic life forms that are designed by computers to perform some desired function and built by combining together different biological tissues.
Mm-hmm. That was.
Oh, so that sounds like they have an organic nature to them. This is why
they're
able
to
replicate like living things.
This is a really interesting final sentence here in this top bit of wiki. Whether xenobots are robots, organisms, or something else entirely remains a subject of debate amongst scientists. How interesting is that?
I reckon I know what they are.
Okay.
Oh, here we go, guys.
I know. Well, it's
get the trumpets out.
I'm going to show you a picture of what one of these xenobots do. I'll finish reading about them, because what they've effectively done, right, is they've created these little cells. They come together and they start creating other cells, so they start replicating themselves, which is of course the theme for so many science fiction movies, where they create these tiny little things and they put them inside people and then they become a fish human or whatever the movie might be. This is what they're working towards, right? And so what's happening is that these little cells actually go around and they push all of these
insert word of your choice here. That's asterisk two.
Oh man, you can actually probably do insert paragraph of your choice. I don't think I'm winning this news article.
I think it's the opposite. I think it's edit out paragraph of your choice here.
Oh my god. So what they've done is that they've made these things basically push around the organisms to a point where they start making more of them and start replicating, right? And so they've started messing around with these, what they're calling the parent cells, and helping them to generate the child cell, which doesn't sound like that's how sounds actually kind of terrifying.
There's not much love involved, but there's certainly a lot of rubbing by the looks of it, a lot of pushing.
Yeah, a lot of pushing. They actually say here, though, that the amazing thing is that it's the first time multicellular organisms have been found to self-replicate in a way that doesn't involve growth on the organism's own body.
Ah,
right.
So how do they... What are they doing?
Well, this is the thing. The quote from the scientist who's been running this says, this work shows there was a previously unknown way that life could self-replicate right. that they previously didn't know about.
Mm.
And that's huge. That yeah. could mean so much. There's there was a wife just running through in the background out of the shower. Wow. There's... I'm doing a podcast in our bedroom and
she's running so you don't end up self-replicating with her.
Quick, we're going to push themselves into a corner. The Kryptonites are going to get a real treat this week, that's for sure.
I tell you what, it's worth the subscription, listeners, if you haven't already. Things are getting really heating up here in the video world of the Kryptonite Patreon site.
You certainly wouldn't want to pay to get the news articles this week, because even my most exciting news article of all year, I can't even figure it out myself.
As soon as you said the headline, I thought none of us are going to be able to work out the science of what this actually means.
Oh, God. I shouldn't go to New Scientist to get my news. I saw the link and I knew I shouldn't have clicked on it.
You need like a child lock thing on it. Like our kids can't click on certain sites.
I got to show the reason why it caught my attention. So if you see here the screen, there's a big red blob.
Yep.
With a little cut in it.
It's like Pac-Man.
Exactly. It's Pac-Man eating a little green thing.
Yeah, eating a ghost.
Well, the little dot. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, the dots. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I just found that basically science looks like a Pac-Man game. It was a terrible news article. I'm so sorry.
So that was your big finale, just showing us that Pac-Man picture?
Well, I've been so excited. Well,
it is amazing news, and most people out there know about this news. It was quite a big deal a few weeks back, you know, and it is freaky, and it takes us further into the field of the future and you know, the haunting prospect of what we can expect. And most people worry that, yeah, robots are going to start making other robots, basically.
That's right.
But it's just not that simple.
So not only was this your big story of the year, but after having tried really hard to tell us about it, Reese is now saying, well, everyone's heard about this weeks ago.
And guess what? I had a follow-up news story.
Oh, great.
To link into it, because talking about the, you know, the threat of AI and all that and these robots that are self-replicating themselves.
Yeah.
My follow-up little supplementary news story is human brain cells in a dish learn to play Pong faster than an AI.
Oh, wow.
So we got Pac-Man and Pong.
I was trying to get to that news story through another news story, and I should have just gone straight to this news story.
I think if you try and explain this one, we're going to come up against the same problem again. Do you get this on a science website again? You know you're
There's
not allowed
new
on
scientists.
That.
Well, that's interesting that you're basically saying that the human cells are better than the AI cells at playing Pong. So we're
that's
still
right.
number one.
Yeah.
As long as we're in a dish.
The dish is the key part here, because it says here, many teams around the world have been studying networks of neurons in dishes, often growing them into brain-like organoids. But this is the first time that many brains have been found to perform goal-directed tasks. So there you go. Unfortunately, I can't read any more of the news article without paying to get unlimited web access.
You run out of your free pages.
I've run out of story. So that's unfortunately, that's all I've got for you on that article. Let's face it, I wouldn't have understood what it was being talked about anyway.
Hey, listen, I've paid the extra. Can I speak to the manager, please? Because I can't understand the story, but I've actually paid the... Yeah, there was a bit at the bottom there asking me to pay, which I did. But I can't... I want my money back, because the story for me is... you can insert a word here, but I certainly can't... *3. Yeah. The manager's away. Oh, well, what do you want to do? Because I'm not happy with the story. I don't understand it. I'm subscribed to the damn thing. I'm going to click on it again next week and have the same bullshit thrown at me. Okay, well, look, we're rocketing towards the end of the show now. So let's do some cryptid news and finish off the year. Insert segment to Sting.
Okay. Are people doing that themselves or do I actually do that? Is that a new thing?
That's a note for you.
Is that a new thing?
No.
Is that a new asterisk number four, Sting? Insert your own Sting there. Okay. No?
No.
Okay.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Help me.
So who wants to read the headline of the month?
Well, I've got a good one here.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I might have to edit the headline to make it better.
You can't do that.
Giant jellyfish found with mouth arms.
Mouth arms.
Hang on, is that the real one or is that you edited it? That's not fair. I want to redo my news article if I can.
You'll
redo
never
the
know.
News.
My writing is so good, it could actually be the actual headline.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Mouth arms.
That's amazing.
Yeah, ultra rare. Okay, observed deep in the ocean. This is from, I got this from Nerdist. Basically, researchers from the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute, or MBARI.
I'm sorry, what?
That's the audio signature.
MBARI.
MBARI. Observed an ultra-rare giant phantom jellyfish. The giant phantom jelly, which is on display in this video that I'm going to show you in a second here, is simply stunning. Now, I've added that word, simply. It actually says quite. Even though it couldn't actually stun you, as its 30-foot-long mouth arms are just there to trap prey rather than sting them, it's got 30-foot-long mouth arms, okay?
What?
You guys ready to see this?
Yeah.
Yeah. 30-foot mouth arms.
Yeah.
Are you just replying to a text right now?
I'm just looking at it myself. I'm just going to play it from this thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Well, that is beautiful.
Yeah, that's stunning. Look at the material. That looks like the fabric on my sofa. It's like a really nice fabric.
What, is it glowing on the inside?
Yeah.
Can you see, is that?
It's like a red
that's
glow.
That's amazing.
So it looks like the main body looks like Buttons' hat to an extent. It's a sort of, it kind of does.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, but it's
gorgeous.
See-through. And then
you've
got these, wow, look at those arms.
Look at those mouth arms.
The mouth
very
arms
long.
Just look like ribbons out the back.
Like the Olympic thing. Yeah,
yes,
the Olympic
like
ribbons.
The Olympic ones.
Yeah.
That looked amazing.
So if you want to check this out, you can check it out on Nerdist or this on the YouTube channel, the MBRI Mabari. I've posted it on the YouTube channel. The Research Institute notes researchers were exploring the ocean off the coast of Monterey Bay, California, using a remote-operated submarine when they eyed the creature. The submarine came across the aquatic alien at about 3,200 feet below sea level. That's very, very deep. Wow.
How do they get mouth arms?
Yeah, what
just
is the mouth
that's
arm?
That's just clickbait. Yeah, that's because they're not eating with the arms, are they? They're just grabbing it and putting it in their mouth.
Well, unless they eat through the top of their mouth and it travels down like a slide, you know, travels through. They could be hollow arms. So like really long necks.
Straws. Like
yeah.
Big
straws.
It could be straw hands instead of mouth arms. Let's call them straw hands. Come on. I mean, I'm no scientist, clearly.
Listen, the giant phantom jelly uses its mouth arms to entrap prey and subsequently reel them up to its mouth.
Well, that's not mouth arms.
Yeah.
They are so... What are they? What,
that's
did you,
what, that's
are
what
you
our
creating
arms
the mouth
are.
Arms?
That's what our arms do.
No, but our arms aren't attached to our mouth.
They're attached to their mouth.
Well, here's the clincher. These mouth arms, which come out of the mouth, grab the prey, and then they roll the prey right up to the mouth. Now, they suspect that the prey would probably die of fear before it even got to the mouth because of the journey of when it's heading towards, looking at that thing that it's heading towards.
Yeah.
But the big clincher is that, in more ways than one, is that the mouth is also its anus.
Oh, my God. Why aren't they calling them ass hands then? They've got it all wrong. Yeah. Imagine that. You're using your arms to bring the food in and it gets in there and goes, actually, I've got a little bit of a turd I need taking out as well. Do you mind taking this out? Yeah, yeah, no problem. It's like,
things go in and out of the same thing.
Yeah.
What a design. For an animal.
They're very rare. Explorers have spotted these jellies before only 110 times in the last 100 years.
Wow.
Their sparse record of observation is especially strange considering the jellies' near worldwide distribution.
They got a worldwide distribution. That's good.
They got a worldwide distribution deal.
So did your latest DVD, didn't it, Reese? You and ass hands have got something in common.
Well, I do talk a load of shit, but I don't think, other than that, there's no relation.
You talk a load of shit and then your hands kind of like deliver it out to the world. It's great.
Look, here's another final clincher on the article.
Yeah.
Oh, all these clinchers.
So despite the worldwide distribution of these strange creatures, it really makes us wonder, where are these things hiding all the time? And are we sure they aren't just preparing for an invasion?
What? What led them to think that they're going to invade us? It does look very alien.
It does. Actually, it does look slightly War of the Worlds, doesn't it? It's got the...
Yes.
That is cool. It is your hat. Buttons, that is your hat.
I look like War of the Worlds too, don't I?
Look, let's put those side by side. Look, go closer so we can just see your hat.
I'm like arse hands too. Look. There you go. There's just a flush the toilet. There you go. Well, is that a muffin, is it?
Well, I think we've just lost a few more Patreons.
Wow, what a news story. That brought it back to life. Thank you. Reese, that was great. That was all good.
What else have we got?
Well, I'm just quite surprised. I thought the very first article in our Crypto Buzzo would have been the new Bigfoot footage has experts admitting that it could be real.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I've got that here too. I was hoping one of you would bring that up.
Oh, well, that's lucky I did.
So this is the classic footage that we all know, the Gimlin footage. And they've done some new analysis on it, I believe, is the story.
No.
No, that's a separate article.
Well, you've got another story.
Oh.
That's great that you've got that as well. But no, there's brand new footage of a Bigfoot and experts have looked at it.
That's really good.
Yeah, and they're sort of saying, well, actually, hang on, this one, we're struggling with this one to prove it to be a fake. It's a clip of a large ape-like creature filmed through the tree line in Georgia, and the footage is, once again, it's shaky and a little bit out of focus, like all crypto footage should be. But it has a lot of people kind of going, well, this one could be the real one. One person wrote, best footage I've seen. In a while, I understand the shakiness. I would have been pooing in my pants. Whoa, that thing was huge. That wasn't one of the experts, I don't think, that thinks it could be real. In fact, it doesn't say here who the experts were that think it's real. So I think maybe that was just clickbait as well. But let me just share the video with you so that you can see it for the first time, Dan.
Yeah, please do.
So what we're seeing here is obviously shaky footage looking through, but there is a dark figure. It stands up. It's sort of like got the classic sort of no shoulders, huge form.
Play it again. Did the creature head off there?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like it.
So it's like it's down on a sort of a ridge line, and it's like it walks up or stands up.
It's so huge.
Yeah, and turns around. It's like literally turns around and then darts off.
Oh, yeah. What I really love about this one is that it really does look like a gorilla, a lowland gorilla. Speaking from experience of seeing the mountain gorillas in Rwanda, with that shape when it's crouched down like that and when it slowly gets up, the rounded shoulders and how the it goes into the head where there's no neck, it's just the head and then sort of, you know, goes into the shoulders and that kind of shape and just the sheer bulk of the size of that creature just really resonates with me. So I think it's really believable.
Mm.
Well, check that out. If you guys, if you fans and listeners want to get that footage, we'll put it up on the site as well. Facebook or the metaverse. It will be a drawn NFT. That's the only difference, but bid on it.
That probably would be worth a lot of money. Imagine the Patterson Gimlin NFT.
Yeah.
I'd buy that one.
Well, speaking of the Patterson Gimlin footage, that is another one that came up recently as Dan was chatting about briefly there before. It's been put on another show on the History Channel called The Proof Is Out There, and it's season two, and it's the Sasquatch episode. I checked it out the other day. It's only just come out in the last few weeks, and they reanalyze the footage. And they've done it with very, very modern technology and overlapped it like hundreds of times with each moment to get a much crisper definition on the footage. And then they've put it, brought in experts, and it's now even more likely that it's not a hoax.
Wow.
So it's really strengthened the case for it being real, which, you know, it's still yet to be disproved that it, that it isn't real. So that's worth looking at as well.
Yeah, where do we find that? Can you show us that now?
No. It's I already just told you at the start. It's on a show on the History Channel called The Proof Is Out There. Season two is the Sasquatch Revealed episode.
I like the new Buttons Doesn't Listen segment that's supposed to happen each week now.
Insert listening here. Asterisk 525.
I clearly didn't hear the bit where that it was. I knew. I just didn't know that. What? I just didn't know it wasn't available on YouTube already. Like, people normally rip that stuff off.
Right.
And put
it may well
up.
Be. It may well be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's just the same footage.
Well, true.
It just looks a bit clearer.
Well, thank you.
You look at it and you go, "Oh, I've already seen this." Yeah, that's not the. This is from the '60s. No, but that's not the point of reevaluated it using digital technology to prove yet again that it's still real. Yeah, but I've already seen it. Yeah, I know, but look, forget it.
You copy of it?
No.
Tell us about the time you met Gimlin. Bob Gimlin.
Yeah, Ruth. that was a few years ago. I went to Alien Con and he was there. And I was just obviously there to meet some of the ufologists and things. And it was in a big, it's like a conference, obviously. And in one of the large rooms, you're walking around, people everywhere, way before the pandemic, signing things, having a chat about things. And in the corner, there was Bob Gimlin. And he had his own store.
At the wrong con.
Could somebody point me to the Bigfoot area? No, I can point you to the alien abduction, but no.
Well, no, these things are linked, you know, cryptozoology and aliens and everything. So there he is. And I got to meet him and, you know, you get a photo with him. And I bought the famous print of the moment where Patty, as they call the famous Sasquatch, it was a female one, obviously, and it turned around and it's got that amazing movement. And so that frame of that film was blown up and he sold it and signed it for me. And so, yeah, that was a cool moment because, you know, he's not going to be around forever. And I think he's in his 80s now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, easily, yeah. Wow. That's awesome. And how what was he like? Is he like
cowboy? Big hat on. He had his belt buckle, his jeans. Lovely to meet you. You know, that kind of southern charm.
I don't know. I just don't know that the word to describe somebody who's taken incredible footage that nobody believes, or at least people find hard to believe, the best word to describe him is as a cowboy. It's not like, yeah, he's like a lawyer. It's like, yeah, it's like total cowboy. Total freaking cowboy. Honestly, he was trying to sell me a packet of bootleg cigarettes. He was like, honestly,
he saw me coming. He saw me coming, you know, a mile away. And anyway, it was a big moment for me.
Very cool. Love to meet
you guys. Are just jealous. You're just
we are. Totally we are. Yeah. Yes, we are. Have you got any cryptid news, Dan?
Well, nothing. I mean, there was a sighting in where was it? Central Illinois that happened the other day. But to be honest, it's just a very quick sighting with a very quick description. It's nowhere near as interesting as the last two stories that have just come up, which I think are just awesome. It was a guy, he said basically he was, so the creature he spotted outside the small town of Chandlerville, which is northwest of Springfield. And he said it was fast, athletic, massive. It covered two lanes of road in two quick strides. It had incredibly long limbs. It was covered in shiny black hair. And it was almost gone before he could even register it. So he sort of, he obviously got a glimpse of something running across the road. And he thought to myself, he said, I said to myself out loud, expletive, Bigfoot. And the article, which they've put in the headline as well, have put in brackets the word expletive, which is quite unusual because you would usually have a couple of asterisks inside your word, expletive. Usually, wouldn't you? In this case, it's just expletive. Wow.
Or the other thing that a lot of people are doing these days is just leaving it blank and putting an asterisk and a little number next to it. So maybe the newspapers could pick up on that. And people fill it in themselves. They get given a Sharpie each time they buy a newspaper, and they get to fill in the expletive. You know, yeah. That's the new way kids are doing it.
Insert expletive here.
What's happened to Dan?
Dan, are you frozen? He has frozen, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Dan, well, actually, speaking of frozen, I think we should end on this. This came through from The Sun. Alien radio. Mysterious sounds heard underneath frozen lake sparks bizarre alien base conspiracy theory.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the 6th of December. Science may have a more mundane explanation for it, but I'm going to skip past that and let's see what else it says.
We don't want mundane. Yeah. We don't do mundane.
Recordings taken from Steamboat Springs in Colorado were recorded by an employee of the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Service on December 4th. And then the staff member posted them on Twitter, which has subsequently been shared to UFO Sightings Daily, where they have been described as strange Star Wars sounds. Analyzing the audio, truth seeker Scott C. Waring said, white sphere UFOs have been recorded and eyewitnesses by thousands of residents of Colorado over the last few years. The signals point to there being an alien base deep below the lake, which amplifies the sound below due to it being frozen. It acts as an amplifier.
What? That is incredible.
Isn't that the most incredible thing you've ever heard, Buttons?
It is incredible.
Wow.
It is
the we're going to end on that
what
this
happens?
Week, folks.
Wait.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Dan. You missed something really incredible.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, that's, what?
I guess when you listen to the podcast, you'll be able to check it out, man.
I thought we were done. That's why I went. We already said bye at the beginning of the show.
That's a very good point. We went into the final thing first.
I just didn't know how we would end the show, so I thought if I just cut out, we'll just say bye.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Earlier.
Brilliant. Now, you were right, and we can still do that. I just wanted to sort of end on a bit of a high as opposed to a, you know, sort of mundane Bigfoot crossing the road story with no visuals.
An everyday classic old speed sighting.
Speed sighting.
Yeah.
Well, this story sounds great.
Yeah. They think it's an alien base. Alien bases are never small. Most are 3 to 6 kilometers deep and cover an area of about 5 kilometers and even have their own weather system with chances of rain. This is 100% proof of an alien base below this lake in Colorado.
100%.
I don't know where these quotes are coming from.
I love it when they say that's how they usually are. No, all the ones that we have documented have been 6 kilometers deep, about 5 kilometers big. It's like you can't say usually they are. Like you got no proof.
It's all speculation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but still, they go on to say a loud enough speaker placed in a dugout 1 meter deep ice hole at the center of the lake would be sufficient to send them back a sonic signal.
What do you send them back? What are you going to send them?
A sonic signal.
Well, that's exactly what the next bit is. It says, but what would you say?
See? What do they sound like? Have they got recordings of the sound? Surely if they've heard it, they've got recordings of it.
Exactly. We need to find this recording and we'll go out on this. Okay, so let me just find it. I'll Google it. Okay, I found it.
Oh, here we go.
It says here, make it to the 5-second mark to hear incredible sounds of the ice in this Colorado
make
lake.
It to the How boring is the first 4 seconds?
I know, I was gonna say. There's a treat for you. If you endure the first 5 seconds, there's a treat for you because it's actually what you were playing the video for. But try and get through those first 5 seconds.
In this day and age, 5 seconds is like 5 years. People have such a low attention span. You've got to say, hey, look, I'm going to play you something, but you honestly, you've got to at least get to 5 seconds before you give up. You promise me?
Oh, I don't know, mate. You know, I got a few things on today. I'm going to do an NFT in a minute.
All right, here we go. We've already said goodbye, so this is how we're going to finish. Here it goes.
All right.
Okay.
They're not wrong. That first 5 seconds is
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.